It's just about a minute after 8 o'clock. Welcome to a Monday edition of the Mornings with Ed show. Delighted to have you with us today. Delighted in particular for this reason this morning. It's the return of the Artist's Corner. We pre-COVID had a weekly gig here with artists from in town coming to let us know about their art, what got them started, great conversations. And I could not be happier that this morning's inaugural re-guest is glass artist Bruce Freund. Bruce is over at the Sawdust Festival and just performs magic before the crowds. And I get mesmerized every time I see him working. Welcome this morning, Bruce.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for being here this morning. And we're not just going to cover the magic of your glasswork, man, but Bruce is a well-rounded guy here, ladies and gentlemen. Bruce, we're talking music. We're talking album covers. We'll get into the vinyl collection of his in just a moment. But welcome back, first of all, and welcome back to Open Up the Artist Corner and welcome back to the Sawdust.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Good to be.
Now, let me ask you, off the top of my head, why glass?
Well, for me, it was a natural transition because I came from a ceramics background, went to University of California, Irvine, got a bachelor's degree in ceramics there. I went to Cal State University Fullerton to get my master's in ceramics.
Right.
Ended up getting into glass, and that was the end of ceramics, though I still dabble in it occasionally, but that was the end, and I've spent the last 40 years in glass, and I got my master's degree from Cal State Fullerton at the same time, and I've been at the Sawdust for 37 years.
Are there similarities between the heating and the glass of and the ceramic? Is there a similarity?
There are some similarities. It's kind of a natural transition to go from ceramics to glass, mainly because, you know, with glass, you have to center the glass. Centrifugal force, if you're throwing out a bowl in both ceramics and glass, you have to spin it faster, and you bring it out to get into that shape that you're looking for. So there are some similarities. The one thing I will say, though, you know, everybody says, oh, well, ceramics is so hard. Well, I got into glass and went, wow, this is really hard.
Right.
A lot of loss in your first couple of years. You lose a lot of work. So
right.
It's a frustrating medium to begin with.
So glass is more unforgiving than
unforgiving
ceramic.
And more punishing for you, the physical body.
Okay. Yeah, because you're in front of that hot oven all day. All right, and you are feeling that heat, right? You're feeling the burn.
Yes, you are.
Now, last week when I watched you make this magnificent fish, and I want to talk to you about the imagination that it takes to come up with these shapes. In just a moment, you burned yourself a little bit. You had a little scald there. Does that happen often? All the time.
I mean, you burn yourself every day, but we don't even count burns on the hands. It's up the arms of that sensitive skin,
right?
Because they last for a month.
Right.
You burn up here, it's gonna last for a while.
It's gonna smart for a bit. Right?
There's some pain involved in glass. I'm not gonna lie.
Okay.
So
when you're creating a piece, and I want to specifically talk about that magnificent fish that you created before us, and it took you 20 minutes, I guess, maybe a little more, maybe slightly more than that, right around there. In your head, do you already have the formula for how to shape it?
Well, especially when you begin blowing in the morning, you have to design your color designs, your overlay process, because everything has to be set up and ready to go. You can't in the middle of a piece go, oh, well, I want to do this and do that, because once you're committed to blowing glass and you're in the middle of it, there's no stopping until it's done.
Okay.
So you're right. So not only did I decide I wanted to make a fish, I also had to decide what the color combinations were going to be on that fish. Now, the thing about fish that's interesting that most people understand, that when my assistant brings a gather of glass as a fin, you have 10 seconds to work it, and then it's as hard as a rock.
Okay.
So you need to go through those steps efficiently, fast, and get it done, because there's no turning back after you've formed the fins.
Right. Because I noticed that you were, if there was a rushed moment in that entire 20 minutes, it was when she brought you over that.
Yes.
The fin right out of the oven.
Yeah.
There's no taking it back in and rewarming it or anything like tea?
Maybe a little bit, but you'd never have the same ability to manipulate it.
Right.
Once you've reheated it, it's a different ball game. It's just not the same anymore.
Right. How hot is that oven?
2,100 degrees.
Jeez.
Whoa. $1,000 worth of gas a month.
$1,000 worth of gas a month. That's pumping heat right there.
Pumping heat and a lot of, you know, that's the problem with glass. It really just isn't very inexpensive to do. Precious metals, to get the different colors, it 2,000 degrees. We buy these rods from Germany, and then we put it into our work however we want to design the piece, right, using powders, frit, and solid bar stock. So the one thing that's wonderful about glass is design composition is endless.
Right.
And even after 40 years, I still have a zest and a love to experiment with new stuff and have fun.
It shows. It shows, and it shows especially in the demonstrations that you give. I want to tell the listeners, if you've never seen Bruce and given a demonstration at Sawdust, you absolutely must do so. Because not only does he do it there before you, but you explain everything as it's happening. And that's just that's the magic right there, is to go, wow, okay. The question I have is, but when the oven is cool in the morning, and I imagine that it is cool at some point?
Only the annealing oven. So, you know, so the glass that, the furnace that holds the glass is molten hot at 2100. That doesn't go off. It takes 2 days just to get it up to temperature.
Okay.
So that stays on all the time. Mm-hmm. And we usually throw more glass in at night in that 2100 degree furnace.
Right.
You know, so we stock it up and get ready for the next day of blowing. As it comes down, then we throw in more glass.
Right. And you're loading glass into it and it gets molten.
Yes.
Okay. Any kind of glass or special glass?
Well,
it's
a special glass with erbium in it. And it's, when we throw it in there, it's still kind of sand. It's powder particles. It's not glass yet, because we haven't turned it into glass.
Right. Okay.
It's a mixture of chemicals that are put together that have a certain COE, coefficient of expansion. And then that's put in the tank, and then the next day it's good enough to blow into glass.
All right, so it's not like I'm just throwing my Patron shot glass in there after taking a shot or something.
That
right?
would hurt your glass.
Okay.
Different coefficient of expansion.
Okay.
I'm throw a tizzy into the glass.
I'm digging this. And then when you're done with a piece, for instance, like that fish, it's not ready to go on the shelf right there. You have to cure it in another oven.
You anneal it, cure it, put it in another oven that's at 900 degrees, and that's just below the moving point of glass. But what you can do is you can stabilize the heat in the glass. And if you have thick and thin spots like you do on a fish, because you got thick fins, thin body, you fire down 1 degree per minute for 10 hours. And then the next day, it's still warm to the touch, but it's gone through its thermal shock and it's strong and good.
Right. Right. And then the fin is much like the lips that you created around the fish, right? It's that you got to work quick. It's got to be 10 seconds or less, or else these lips are Mick Jagger lips, right? That's what we're working
on.
Speaking of which, today's, by the way, and I know you're into rock, man, Mick Jagger, 78 today. Can you believe that? 78.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And he's still rocking hard.
Still rocking as hard as he did as long as every tour that I've seen, it's like, wow, this guy never changes, man.
Oh, yeah.
This guy never changes nor ages.
You know, at one point he was staying here in Laguna years ago.
Right.
And the reason that he's still kind of at that level, because the guy runs. He, you know, when you're doing that much on stage and entertaining, you better be in some kind of shape or you're not going to be able to run to this side of the stage and that side and do all his gestures.
Exactly. I pulled a muscle tying my shoe this morning, man.
That's like, it.
No. My hat's off to Mick, man. So you came in, and the first thing you did was you noticed the posters that we have here. So these are artists' posters that have put up. They're soundproofing for the room. But you immediately made notice of the doors, and then you started telling me about your vinyl collection at home. Let's skip away from the art for just a second and go into your vinyl collection.
Well, vinyl, I've always thought that vinyl, the true essence, of course, when we were growing up, of albums and having them. And I'd buy an album and I'd look at the album, I'd read the words, I'd read the album from cover to cover, memorize all the words in all the songs and everything. Well, through all these years, you know, there was that time when vinyl was out. You know, we had the CDs, whatever was in, all the stuff was in. Well, you could pick up vinyl for nothing back then, a buck.
Right.
I was picking up all these albums, you know, for a dollar. And of course, it was the people that I loved. And then we were talking earlier, Rick Griffin, an artist who did a lot of album covers. I collected a lot of his album covers to have them because as an artist, I just love his work. It's very intricate. It's beautiful work. He was very talented. He's passed away now. But, you know, collecting the vinyl and still listening to it, you know, I still got the whole setup and everything. And I put plastic covers in the inside, plastic covers on the outside. I mean, I got them protected as well as I could. But now the album's are expensive again.
Right.
15, 20. I'm going, boy, that's getting expensive.
So you were like really realistically a stock trader that picked up stuff cheap, and now you're holding on to stuff as the price is going up. That's great forethought there. Reach into that red bag there, and I'll show you some album slats there. What I have done since I was a kid and had my very first place is. Yeah, those first two are blank, and you're gonna write on one of them. They're brand new, so yeah, you don't even care about those first two.
All right.
But those others. So when I was a kid and got my first place, I would have, every time I had a guest come over, I would have them write down a quote of a favorite song on the inside of an album cover.
Ah.
So I literally have hundreds of those right there.
Wow.
And I just rediscovered them in my storage at home, and I got this underneath the house storage thing. I rediscovered them, so I thought I'd bring them into work and then have the folks that work here and the folks that visit me, like you, give me quotes on those.
I love it.
And then if you look at the back, you got some really decent album covers there. Led Zeppelin, Physical Graffiti there, Goat's Head Soup there. So I'd love for you to take part in that.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite band of all time, or are there a few? It's too hard to narrow down.
There's always a top three and everything. Being a surfer for 35 years,
right.
Beach Boys.
Yeah.
Love the Beach Boys.
There you go.
Of course, the Beatles. You know, there's a lot. I love Jackson Browne. I mean, I'm kind of in an easy listening 70s kind of, you know, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones. I mean, you know, all the classic Eagles, classic old bands, you know, all those bands I love to death. Great bands, great lyrics.
And,
great music.
And combining glasswork and bands, have you ever done, like, let's say, have you ever done the Rolling Stones tongue logo as a piece of artwork? Or something like that?
I've never done that, but that's a good idea. I wouldn't mind trying that. You know, and I...
I'll take your first two failures. If they burn out of the oven, I'll take your first two.
There you go. I love to do pieces that are off the cuff, that are not what you expect.
Right.
I mean, I had this charity organization come up, a good friend of mine, and it was cancer for women, ovarian cancer, which is very undetectable, and women are just not aware of it. And she started this organization, and she had a logo, and I went, well, I'm going to make that. And after I made it, it brought her to tears.
Right.
And so she was very happy with it, and they used it in some of their promotions down the line. But I love to do things that are off the cuff and not what you would expect, because I've done so much of the traditional glass for so many years. It's always nice to go outside of the box and do something different.
All right. Well, I'll shoot you some ideas. I love the Rolling Stones tongue. I think that would be really pretty chill.
I could probably make some money off that. I hate to say that, but probably because, you know, the Rolling Stones, those people, they're diehards. I have a friend. He goes to 7 concerts a year.
Right.
L.A., Las Vegas, New York, Denver.
Yeah.
He's all over the place.
You're looking at him right here, man. I swear. So, yeah. And then there's a lot of, as you look at the album covers there in front of you, you look at the Led Zeppelin cover and artwork. I think that'd be great as glass, man.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. So, no, yeah. New business for Bruce, man. Rock and roll stuff happening.
Hold it together, Bruce. You can do it.
A question about when you got started. I mean, with art in general, or drawing as a kid, or what was it as a kid?
Well, to tell you the truth, I mean, I feel in my life that I was always meant to be an artist, because this is the first time I ever remember. I was in fourth grade,
right.
You know, and we were doing some ceramics in fourth grade, you know, which is great.
Right.
Grade school we're doing. And they're saying, okay, you're going to make a dinosaur, right? So everybody's making a dinosaur, and all the other kids' dinosaurs look like blobs, right? And mine is like, and I wasn't even into dinosaurs that much when I was a little kid, like kids are now.
Right.
But I made like this perfect dinosaur, and I'm looking at mine and I'm looking at theirs and I'm going, geez, why is mine so much different than theirs? And that was the first time I realized, geez, maybe I'm an artist, because mine looks so much different than this. I've been an artist basically my whole life.
Right. It just comes through the hands. It just happens.
The hands and the mind and the soul, you know, all those things come together, and hopefully you make something that speaks to someone else's soul and gets them moved at the same time.
When you look at, like, let's say a painter or someone that is a different art form than you currently do.
Yes.
Do you ever think to yourself, I think I could do that. I'm going to give that a shot. And do you ever try?
I do do that. You know, okay. I'm kind of, I hate to say this, but I'm all over the place.
Right. I like that. Yeah.
I got ADD. I'm painting. I'm sculpting. I'm still doing ceramics. You know, I just did a huge sculpture for the sawdust, a big wood sculpture, way out of my realm.
Right.
But, you know, if I have an idea, I kind of follow through with it. And there was a time when I was actually doing ceramics with glass. You know, I'm always trying to push that limit. I was doing ceramics with glass, right, and then I went with metal with glass, trying to bring different mediums together, not only pushing myself, but trying to push the medium into another aspect of it. So.
And you have your wife that assists you, right?
My wife assists me, yes. All right. Lovely wife. Without her, there isn't much going on in my life. So.
I noticed during the demonstration, she sort of keeps you focused.
Yeah.
She's got that tunnel thing going. Yeah, it's called a whip, I think. It keeps you focused. Yeah. So, yeah. Elizabeth, is her name?
Elizabeth. Good.
Okay. Hello.
Good.
Hello out there, Elizabeth.
Good. Yeah.
Where can we find your work online to take a look at or purchase or whatever?
Well, it is, you know, I have a website under my name, brucefreund.com. There is work there. But the best place, of course, most of the work on my website is already gone. I mean, as fast as I make my work, I'm very blessed to be able to sell it.
Right.
But it's at the Sawdust. Your best selection. I got 200 pieces of glass at the Sawdust. And just like Ed said, I'm actually blowing at the Sawdust. And he's, you know, and I do explain the process because it's important to me for the people to understand the difficulties of glass, the expense of glass, the loss. I mean, you know, I've been blowing for 40 years. I still lose work. I had a $500 piece and I barely, and it was done and I was getting ready to put in the annealing oven and I barely tapped it on anything and it went flying in the air and broke into a million pieces. And that's glass.
That's
just like life. Yeah. You got your ups, you got your downs. You better be ready for it all because it's coming at you.
And I'm going to, once it breaks, you can't like toss it in. It's done.
No, because that is a glass that's been colored.
Right.
And so if you put in six different colors of glass, you got gray muck for glass. If it's clear, you could reuse it. And we do recycle that because the glass is so expensive. It's $1 a pound to buy the glass before you even use it. That's not the color glass. The color glass could be $150 a pound. So.
And do you lose that weight in the oven? Do you so let's say it's that much a pound. When do you get that same pound out? Right, you don't.
No, you don't.
Right.
Well, and there's also excess glass on the pipe when you're gathering that you never reuse again.
Right.
And then, of course, if you lose the piece, you don't get it. But when you we were talking earlier about when you melt glass into glass, it's basically in a sand formula. It's like a powder. So when you melt it, you lose 30% of the weight in the batch when it finally melts into glass.
Right.
So there is a loss there. So there's kind of losses in a couple different places. Right. It goes with the medium. It's just, you know, what you got to deal with, except for separating the clear and trying to recycle the clear as much as you can.
Right. I want to let all our listeners know if they want to look for you at the Sawdust Festival, which, by the way, I got to just say, it's maybe my favorite year of Sawdust ever. And we were talking earlier, it might be because it's back after a year of being gone and everybody just wants to be somewhere and do something. But I really think that it's about as good a year as we've seen as for artists and everything and entertainment and everything over at the Sawdust. So Frankie, hats off to Frankie for doing an outstanding job running that place,
man.
Yeah,
great job.
Yeah.
And we, you know, so we have like about 150 artists. It's a little more spread out than usual because of the COVID and everything. So that's a little what we're dealing with. But we got a lot of new artists, some great painters, and a lot of new energy, and everybody's coming back very positive. You take a year off, not only the artists are positive, all the people that are dealing with it and the collectors, you know, everybody's very happy to be able to be out and living life again at some level, which so it's been fantastic on that level.
So in the year of absence, you were at home doing this? Were you, no?
When there's no show, the only thing that allows me to blow glass is there being shows because most people, I mean, I have a $5,000 nut to crack and this isn't making money. This is just paying the bills, the glass bill, the gas bill. And this is in my private studio, not the one that we blow at the Sawdust with.
Right.
So if you don't have shows to keep that money flowing, then I wasn't really blowing because all the shows were gone for a year.
Right.
No shows.
Right.
So I didn't really blow for a year. Luckily, I have some. Like I say, I'm kind of a jack of all things, master of none, except for maybe glass. And so I was doing other things to try and make money because there was no money to be made off of glass at that because all shows were canceled.
Right. What time are you there? What time can our listeners find you there?
I'm there multiple different days. If you want to see me specifically blowing, I am there Tuesday and Wednesday, 11 to 3, Friday, 11 to 2. And then on the weekends, we rotate. You can always call up and find out if you want to see me personally blow. There's blowers all day long, every day, blowing glass through the tenure of the show from whenever the shows are. Right now, it's 11 to 7 during the weeks. Friday and Saturday, it is 11 to 10 at night. So if you want to get down there and drink a little and see the bands at night, that's the days to go.
Right. And I got to tell you, yes, you are a master of glass blowing and many other things. Don't think you're not a master of none. From the Sawdust Festival, thanks for returning the Artist Corner to where it needs to be. Bruce Freund, and I'm tell us what Freund means, by the way.
Freund means friend in German, direct translation. My Freund.
I absolutely love it. Bruce Freund, Sawdust Art, Sawdust Festival. Go check him out. Magnificent talking to you this morning. Thanks for being on the program, Bruce.
Thanks for having me.
All right. 8:23. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.